Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
I love learning about behavior. I feel like you can't get enough of it, especially for my fellow general practitioners out there. And we're going to be talking about Touching the Untouchables, the first reactive referral center for pets with special needs with none other than Dr. Tracy Paquette. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Adam.
Of course, my pleasure, because I know our listeners might be like, wait, what did he just say? The first reactive referral center? Yes, I said it right. We're going to chat about this, but a little bit about our wonderful colleague. She founded the first clinic dedicated to reactive pets and their families. She earned her doctorate at Michigan State University's College of Veterinary Medicine in 98. And since 2018, her focus has been on animal behavior and stress-free handling in the veterinary environment. So the Reactive Referral Center was eventually created to provide veterinary care for the reactive patients, but many of these patients had previously been fired from other veterinary clinics or unable to seek veterinary care due to their reactivity. I can only imagine the stories you must have. Mm-hmm. In addition to seeing patients, Dr. Paquette enjoys speaking events and working with her team to provide education and hands-on training sessions within individual clinics. Listeners, I really want you to listen to this because Dr. Paquette, we talk a lot in this profession about evolving and changing as you go within this career. And I know we have a lot of vet students that listen to the podcast. So I would love for you to talk to us, like, how did your career take you down the path of working solely with these animals? And what's your story? What's your deal?
What's my deal? Well, So I had been practicing for about 20 years before I kind of veered off in this direction. And I would say at that 20-year mark, I liked my job. I never dreaded coming into work, but I didn't love my job. And there definitely, I now know there is a difference. So I was fortunate enough to work with a seasoned LVT, actually, who started to have an interest in behavior. And we shared an office. And so she was always reading these books and, giving me little tidbits. And in the exam room, she was teaching me a great deal about animal handling and really a lot of the stress-free handling. So she was wanting to retire. And she said to me, hey, I really don't want that behavior piece to get lost when I'm gone in this practice. And it was around that time, like 2018, when Fear Free came out as well. Mm-hmm. And so she said, hey, have you seen this Fear Free stuff? And I'm like, yeah, So I took the modules and I loved it, loved every second of it. And I found within that practice, then really leaders who wanted to take this on with me. So we started down that path and we just kind of kept going further and further and further and further and kind of took it up a few notches. And that's really how it started out. I like to really give credit to my LVT and certainly Fear Free for getting things started for us here at the Reactive Referral Center. It took, we're talking 2018. It took years to really develop this process and the protocols that we use. But it's been amazing. And I went truly from liking my job to loving my job. Like this is what I was meant to do. And I do, when I talk to vet students about that, I do actually encourage them, when we go to vet school, we're supposed to do everything, right? Which is great. We need to learn all those things. And I think when you get into practice, it can be a little bit overwhelming. And I think it's okay to say, hey, you know what? I really like this area of veterinary medicine. And to go down that pathway, be good at what you do. You'll love it then. Whatever you love, you're going to be really good at. So don't be afraid to kind of say, hey, you know what? I don't really love surgery, but you know what? My colleague does. So let's let them do that. And you know what? Maybe I just want to focus on gen med or dermatology, these types of things, because I found that when I got out of vet school, I didn't really feel like I had that leeway to really go into a particular area that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And I feel like there is this disconnect with pet owners and veterinarians when it comes down to behavior. We don't have the time, but they have the time to really talk about it. And I just find that like so tough because we're, to your point, we're doing so many other things. We're recommending dentals and heartworm prevention and, you know, trying to get everything scheduled for wellness. So I love that you kind of, you know, took that career path towards behavior. And more specifically, I'm curious to understand, because there's so many different types of behavior, why reactive? Why that specific or that field, I should say?
Well, I have to tell you that what happened was that as, again, we started to go down this path, I got such quick feedback from the changes that I was making with these patients, right? It was instant. If I just changed, if I listened to their body language, I changed up how I was handling, the feedback was immediate. And I loved that, right? Because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm making a big difference by just standing a different way or readjusting what I'm doing. So it kind of, you know, I started to be like, I want these patients. So the word kind of got out and anybody that was, you know, struggling with these fearfully aggressive patients, like, well, go see Dr. Paquette. Go see Dr. Paquette. Go see her, you know? And so the more and more I saw these patients, the more and more I learned. And I also understood their why, Adam, you know, and that's really what kept me going, because the why was, you know, again, they are afraid. And where does that fear come from? So after really understanding the core of that, you know, aggression, so to speak, it really, I just developed a compassion that I never really knew I had. And so not only that, but then it connected with these owners, right? Because what was happening is that, and this happens to me on a daily basis, is these owners have essentially PTSD, right? Yeah. So they have been so traumatized by the their previous experiences, seeing their animals so stressed, and then they feel a lot of guilt and shame, you know, and it takes a lot of times for them to sometimes get here. Hopefully they get that referral and it's kind of a direct connection. Sometimes it's, you know, again, social media that brings them to us a little bit. But, you know, once I can kind of let them take a breath and let them know this is a safe space, it makes a huge difference. So I also, again, found that it was by putting the patient first, I was really making a big connection with these owners as well, and providing a service that these pets weren't getting care at them. I mean, it's like, who wants to go back, right? Because it was a disaster the last time. And again, like I say, a lot of them are embarrassed. They feel like it's their fault that they can't control their dog or cat, right? And that's not the case at all. So a mission of ours is really to explain that to these owners too, you know, and give them some understanding as to why this is occurring.
And what does that referral process look like then? So walk me through like the new client at the RRC, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah. So that's taken a little bit of time to develop as well. But I will tell you the one thing that we do right out of the gate is that I have a really great team of people. It's a small team, but they're amazing. And they worked with me for quite some time. And so, you know, from the first call to our receptionist, she will go ahead and gather all of the history for me in advance. And I think that's super important. I got to go through that history before I even talk to that client. So go through what history we have, including training history. So it's not just medical, but if they have any training history, I go through all of that. Then we set up actually a telehealth appointment with me. So we take that time to, I break down every single detail as far as, because I want to set this patient up for success. And I want these clients again to trust me that, hey, it's going to be okay. It may be that you may walk in the door and your dog may try to lunge at me right away. That's okay. We're going to be okay, you know, or we may get a lot further, but we break down all the details starting from, you know, how was your last visit? And I'll start with them in their own home and walking through. Did your dog get into the car? How did the car ride go? Did they get out of the car? What happened at the door? I mean, were you used for restraint? Were they, was a towel ever used? Where were the vaccines given? All these things, because oftentimes, as you know, these pets remember all of that. And so they're fearful, we want to try to readjust some of those things in advance. And so we walk through that process first, a pretty in-depth history, very detailed. And then I prep them for the appointment. And a lot of times what we'll do, depending on, I have people actually coming from quite some distance a lot of times, but if they're a little bit closer, I'll try to encourage them to come in for that first like 15 minute visit where initially I'm not even present, right? Kind of like those happy visits we talk about, right? But they're scheduled so that nobody else is here. So they are allowed to come in and just even see, will this pet come in the office, right? Sometimes they could put the brakes on, but will they even just come in on their own? And if things are going okay, then I'll come out, see if they will tolerate me just standing there. I say nothing. It's very choreographed what we do. Wow. And we kind of go from there so that we can be prepped for that next appointment when the goal is for me to actually try to do some hands-on touching with that particular pet. So that telehealth is crucial. The desensitization visit is great if we can do it. If we can't, that's okay too. We come up with different scenarios, especially if you're traveling a distance, for, hey, we're going to plan for sedation in case we need to. This is what this is going to look like. It's not going to be shoved in between two doors. We actually do it a very specific way, very successful way, and your dog's not even going to see me. So I have ways of doing that where they never even see me. I'm like a little ninja.
Right.
People are usually like, wait a minute, is it done? And I'm like, yeah, it's taken me years to do this, but yes, it's done.
So, wow.
Yeah. So we have lots of different protocols in place, but you know, essentially it's definitely, it's not cookbook, Adam. There's no way to do this where you got to check all these boxes necessarily, because they're all different, you know, and we just have to be innovative and really come up with, new ways to do things with each patient.
Right. Yeah. And do you have a conversation with the referring veterinarian or the veterinarian to be like, here are some recommendations you might want to consider now that we've worked with this dog when they come see you? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So that's the ultimate goal. Unfortunately, at this point, I think where we're at, and I think kind of, again, I'm kind of paving the way with just focusing with reactive patients.
Yeah.
A lot of the referrals I see, they actually don't feel equipped to see these patients back in their hospital. Or, you know, they feel like, you know what, we're just not equipped at this time. And they want me to continue care with them. So, but the goal, Adam, is with that education piece that we can try to get in those clinics and teach them some of those things that can really benefit these patients. It's another thing that's very individualistic though, as well, because no clinic's the same by any means. Right. So you really have to get in there and say, hey, what are your expectations? Do you maybe have a couple people that really love behavior? You know, that kind of just, they just don't know what to do. You know, those are the people that, hey, let's work with them and see if we can create some different protocols. And oftentimes I read these histories, Adam, and I'm just like, oh, I could help them. Oh, I could help them so easily.
Oh, that's gotta be so good. Yeah, it's gotta be so good. Well, tell me about a success story that you've had. I'm sure you've had many, but is there anyone that really sticks out?
Well, I think the one that was kind of the TikTok famous one was Jax. And so that's the one, you know, that kind of that viral story on TikTok. And so I can walk you through his story a little bit. And it's an important one because, again, what sets us apart is collaboration. So when we're working with these patients, it really doesn't work unless we have the whole team. And that means a trainer that I work with, and also an LVT who does cooperative vet care. So when we're putting all of that together, boy, for some of these patients, it's night and day. And so Jax is kind of a good example of that, in that the trainer that I work with actually she had been working with Jax for reactivity at home. And she had noticed that she thought that maybe his gait was a little bit off, you know, just something to mention to her vet. And unfortunately, she was afraid to go back to the vet because Jax was so fearful in that scenario that there had been a couple incidences at that vet to the point where Jax would walk in and then begin to seizure. And it would happen twice. Never had a seizure at home. This, you know, just would walk in and had two seizures. So she was also very fearful of any type of sedation. She just, you know, the owner was, you know, again, so afraid of those next steps. So fortunately she connected with us and she came in our office for the first time. And again, you can kind of see this on that TikTok, but essentially we were able to even just touch Jax. It's the first time anyone's been able to just even touch Jax, you know, listen to Jax. And you'll see that on the video, I'm able to listen. And then something happened in between there where Jax said, nope, I'm done. And we stopped and we talked about what can we do here for the future. So Jax had cooperative care in our office with our LVT for about 5 to 6 sessions, transferred that over to me. And we were drawing blood from a jugular and giving him his vaccine and feeling his abdomen. And it was so cool. And wow. And I find that with a lot of patients, it's just, you know, if we put that cooperative care piece in there and take some time with them, yeah, it's amazing. It really is. Yeah. So that was super exciting for us to see and to see that team effort. Right. It's great when you get the quick fix, but there's really not necessarily, to me, that's pretty quick, right? When you think about only, you know, you look at that history on that dog. Oh, and I'm sorry, I meant to say too, the big thing is we treated pain. I left that out, but that was a huge game changer, right? We treated pain. So not only were we taking away that stress for Jax, but we were also teaching Jax that, hey, this touching, this handling we're doing, it's okay. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's fantastic. Great job. Yay, Jax. It's awesome.
We love Jax.
Yeah. And before we wrap up, I know that listeners would want to know this about your education piece. So like how and what are you able to teach other veterinary professionals and their staff?
So, you know, something that we do is generally we will go and do kind of a basic presentation. And what I found is that I also talk about mental health as well, because I know that's obviously very important in our profession. And I have encountered, from many veterinarians and veterinary staff, and including even pre-vet students who have come up to me saying, you know, you're one of the few people that I feel is a positive influence on our field. In fact, I've had students say I was going to leave this profession or not even, you know, kind of abort my dreams here of becoming a vet because I was either, you know, some of the clinics they were working in, there was, it was not what they expected, you know, some of the animal. And so we talk a little bit about, you know, mental health too. And as far as, you know, when you went to vet school, you certainly didn't have in your mind that you were going to have to hold animals down to get a toenail trim done, you know, and none of us love that, right? We don't really love that feeling of that. And so there are other ways that we can do things. And there are ways of putting the patient first and sometimes having to say no to the client. But there's kind ways of doing that. And once you start really kind of putting that patient first, you're going to acknowledge that emotional health of that pet and you're going to get rewarded from that. You're going to learn how to be kind in your communication with owners. And the more as a field that we do this, the more accepted it's going to be. And so we do touch on that. But then as far as, you know, what we can do directly within that clinic, you know, I look at their setup when I go in there. What does this look like? You know, how are pets coming in and out? I mean, there's such simple things that I do that are so routine, Adam, that I think everybody's doing them. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, they're not. So here's some really simple things we can do different. Put a towel on that tail. You know, they don't want to do that tiny little lip if you have one that's raised up. Just put a towel on it. We'll get them on. you know, sometimes we'll time dogs and say, hey, let's just see if this patient will, because a lot of times they're like, oh no, they got to get on the scale, right? And they're forcing them on the scale. And I'll say, you know what? Let's just time this and see what happens when we do it this way. And we give them a chance to make that decision on their own. Oh, that only took 30 seconds. Yep. Only took 30 seconds. And once they kind of see it and believe it in their own clinic and work with pets hands on, they really start to build more confidence and want to learn more. So yeah, it takes hands-on practice and hands-on teaching. You know, when we go in there, we really, again, I love it when they can watch a module. I think that's great, but they need me there to actually be hands-on in my LVT to say, hey, let's try something different. Let's do this. Let's do that. So I think that's a little difference in the education piece is that it's really hands-on. Yeah,
it is hands-on because like to your point earlier, like everyone, there's no cookie cutter for behavior. Everyone is so different. And so it's so good that you're there to provide them with some examples of what, and we work in such busy atmospheres. And I agree, it's nice to pump the brakes because the dogs feel that energy. They do, you know, that like you're rushing them and they don't like that feeling too. So I'm so glad you're there for that. So where can we learn more about you and Reactive Dogs Referral Center? Tell us everything.
Okay. So you can find us at essentially reactivereferralcenter.com. We're on the internet and also same on TikTok. So we are under Reactive Referral Center on TikTok, on Instagram, Facebook. And so I really encourage people. I like TikTok just because you can see, right? You can see what doing. And so I do encourage people a lot of times, hey, take a look there. You're going to understand a little bit more about what is cooperative vet care. What are you actually doing there that's different? And so I do encourage people at Reactive Referral Center on TikTok there to take a peek.
Excellent. So thank you so much. This has been fantastic. And thank you for everything that you're doing too. It's not easy. So yeah, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. I love it. So
yes, thank you so much. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate today's podcast. Always helps us out significantly. And we will see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.